Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Five Heart Podcast. Welcome back, I guess, now that school is back in session and athletics are athleticing. Greg Mahochko here on this Coronation.com podcast brought to you by JitteryMonkey.com, joined as always by my good friend, fellow Husker fan, and longtime broadcast buddy, Brian Toll. Brian, how was your offseason?
Go to hell.
Okay.
Go straight to hell.
Here's the thing, if you don't know, Brian really gets no offseason because there's football.
I have to babysit you sons of bitches.
Yes, but there's football, and then there's basketball, and then there's baseball.
And then there's fucking recruiting.
I was going to say, and all throughout there is recruiting. We have tried to get together on numerous occasions since May 21st, our last episode, to talk Husker athletics, including but not limited to recruiting. Brian, in a nutshell, how are we sitting recruiting wise? What we can consider now the 2018 recruiting cycle.
It's going okay. It's not bad. It could be better. You're losing a couple battles. You're going to lose a couple battles.
Sure.
You're going to probably win a couple battles. You're probably going to win one this weekend with the one, as the Isaiah dude that spells his name really weird, but other than that, it's fine. Yeah. It really is.
And we talked about this, and I wanted to say joke, but I know it's not a laughing matter to you. But when they announced the date in December is the early signing period, we know that it's another horrendously long day for you, but what does that mean for the Huskers?
That's actually a really good question. It actually, to me, it means that, it does two things. One, it solidifies your class. You don't have to go re-recruit your class in December or January. And that's a great thing, because then you can actually that leads to number two. The second point is you can actually go see what you need and then reevaluate and go after guys that help you out. And I think that's a big deal. There are some guys that won't sign right away, and they'll wait till the first week in February, and those are the guys you still got to pursue. And there are some – and it's going to happen with a lot of schools. There are going to be some kids that – you're expecting to sign in December. When they don't sign in December, it's going to be a big red flag issue. Okay, so I think it's really good for Nebraska, because Nebraska really had to struggle the last couple of years with Guy Thomas and such like that, trying to solidify that when they needed to go out and get some more guys. And you spend some time and
getting them kind of locked down.
Get kind of what's the best way to say it? The ones that bloom late. I don't even know, call them diamonds in the rough, just guys that they have to check afterwards. So
the kind of maybe the kids who really need their senior season to, of high school to show exactly what they are capable of.
Yeah. Because there are going to be kids that, regardless of, you trying to get them in, August or such, they're not going to be there until quote unquote, January. Jalen Bradley was like that. Nobody knew that Jalen Bradley would be available till the end of December. So,
you answered another one of my questions was, would we still be seeing some of the highest, graded recruits holding out for February? I mean, there definitely seems every year that there's, I don't want to say select few or a handful, but there are some kids who, and I guess maybe enjoy the attention of it.
They do. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. Kids really do.
So we'll still always see those. I mean, there's not going to be anybody who's going to take their name off the board, so to speak, in December when they can have six more weeks of, you know, coaches calling them, fawning over them, things like that.
Yeah, but this is one of those things that, you know, the silly season doesn't have to happen during bowl season.
Right.
Because it is a dead period. The bowl season is a dead period. As we're taping this, Ohio State has officially opened a Costco efficient can of Maker's Mark whoop ass on Indiana in the second half. I said, Indiana put their best effort up. They were only up three at the half. And I said, last year, two years ago, Virginia Tech did the same thing. And Ohio State came out and dropped the hammer. And hey, looky now.
Well, let's talk about and one more thing about the early signing period. Just like the National Signing Day, as it has always been, the first Wednesday of February, signing the piece of paper, that's still not etched in stone, right? I mean, could they theoretically change their mind from December to February, or is that...
No, it's an LOI.
Okay.
It's just as good as it was, you know, as soon as the fax and the university has it, announces that they're locked in unless they get released.
Okay, cool. So. I'm glad we were able to clarify that. So let's move on now. As I've mentioned, we've wanted to talk, you know... You didn't want to talk?
You.
I've wanted to get with Brian for a while, especially as we got closer and closer. We tried it last week. It did not work. I'm going to blame my computer system. I actually went out and got what was supposed to be a newer, faster, stronger router, and it doesn't work worth a damn hill of beans. So what I'm doing right now, I have a 100-foot, I don't want to call it a spool, it might not even be 100 foot. That'd be awful long. Anyway, I have a really, really long Ethernet wire that I'm stretching from my router in my front room, which is where my wife is currently asleep on the couch, all the way to where I'm recording, and I had to move my laptop off my desk by 2.5 feet to make this thing work. But anyway, we've been trying to get together. But
laptops, you know, don't have like rechargeable batteries, and you can take them anywhere you want, including the pooper.
I could, but then I also have to take my mixer. This just seemed easier. Get off my shit.
Jesus.
So all of a sudden, and I don't know if obviously it hadn't been like this for you because you've been in the trenches, so to speak. But football season snuck up on me.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And I'm excited.
And you know what? Honest to God, and I don't mean to laugh, but this is like kind of like the first – it's like the first fall camp in like 2-3 years that, you know, it's been kind of boring.
Which is good, I guess.
You know, the first one was Riley's, you know, first thing, and then the whole thing was Sam last year.
Yeah, so the uneventful, you know, nothing landmarkish or memorable. You know, kind of give everyone the 411, and I say that knowing full well that coordination.com is a great source, my favorite source for Husker news and notes. But fall camp, how have things been going? We knew coming out of the spring game that Tanner Lee, well, we didn't know. We all speculated, and it was confirmed very shortly after that. But Tanner Lee, starting quarterback, Patrick O'Brien, you know, the backup, and Tristan Gebbia.
Is going to redshirt.
Which is good. He could, you know, he's a skinny kid. He could use to hit the cafeteria and the gym a little bit. But what have you seen that has stuck out to you as far as how fall camp has gone?
I just want to know how the defense is going to play. I think the offense is going to be okay. I think they're going to be, I wouldn't say world beaters, but I think they're going to be better. I think that extra guy out of the box will help the run game and such. I just want to know how this defense is going to play because you don't fire a guy that's worked with you for, 20 years?
Yeah, at least, yeah.
You don't fire him over the phone and get another guy who... It is a good defensive coordinator in Bob Diaco, but you don't fire that guy and, you know, have a as good defense. You have a better defense.
Sure.
So Well, let's face it, the defense is what's going to be judged. And there's a lot of people that sit there and, you know, the whole cackling of run the ball 500 yards every game, which isn't going to happen because this offensive line is getting better. It's not that good, but it's getting better. So,
but we're also not in a system that is going to, I mean, we're not to say we're in a pass first offense, but it's not, you know, the old 3 yards in a cloud of dust type of offensive scheme anymore. This could be a heck of a year for someone like Tanner Lee. If everything falls into place, he might only see one, you know, and that's a big theoretical or hypothetical or whatever, you know, but he might only be under center for 1 year if the stars align. I mean, that's the type of offense that we have, and that's the type of quarterback that we have now.
Yeah, I mean, that is the way it is. And what I would say is that wouldn't be a bad thing for Nebraska. I mean, and I'm not saying I don't want Tanner Lee to go. What I'm saying is there's that, you know, there's an implied odds on that when it comes to recruiting. Mm-hmm. Saying, hey, this is the offense. This is what's going down. You know, and it helps wide receiver recruiting, helps quarterback recruiting. But it also definitely, you know, has something.
You know, if you're Coach Riley, if you're Danny Langsdorf, when you hit that recruiting trail and say, hey, we took a guy from Tulane who didn't play for, what, 2 years, right?
Yeah, it'll be 2 years since 700 days or something like that. Yeah. I don't know.
And you can say, hey, we took him from that situation, and, hey, he got drafted after 1 year. That's, you know, that's a heck of a recruiting statement you can make, as far as bringing quarterback. But we also, and I've heard the guys over at the Big Red Cobcast, shout out to them. I heard them talk about it quite a bit. You know, Ryan and Pat and Joe and Mike and everybody. It would benefit the Huskers for Tanner Lee to have that, you know, just hell of a year, because we don't want to have a logjam at the quarterback position. You got Patrick O'Brien, you got Tristan Gebbie, who we mentioned, and then recruits who could come in, and you know, quarterback's always an in-demand position, so.
Sure, what you said.
Perfect. I like it. So let's switch gears here, since it is late, and this is going to, you know, be dropping in the morning early, and we both need sleep. Arky State, I mean, we're here on the eve of the season. Arkansas State, which I think on one of their blogs or publications, we had a chuckle at this, but they were saying that you know, they were setting their own prediction, and somebody said that they would beat Nebraska 35-21 or something ridiculous like that.
Hard to believe when they have five offensive linemen. Hey, hold on, let me look this up real quick.
Please do.
You know, and one big thing to worry about Nebraska was that, you know, how their offensive line is going to go. It's going to take me a minute, so fill the air.
Yeah, and you know, while Brian's looking that up.
What conference are they in?
Sunbelt.
I think you're right.
I'm guessing this because I think that's where I saw it. But
Appalachian, Arkansas State. Yes, you're right.
Arky State, the home of the somethings. I don't know.
Arkansas State.
Yeah.
Jonesboro. Arkansas State has a really good bowling team.
What are they the home of?
The home of the Red Wolves. They actually have Arkansas State has a really good bowling team, coached by Justin Kostick, who is a former University of Nebraska bowler.
Well, we talked about that in bowling season too, about how Nebraska, former Nebraska bowlers or maybe former Nebraska coaches were sprawling out and seeing success, like at McKendree, who ended up winning the women's national championship. Yep. Feather in the cap there, but
I'm thumbing through right now. I'm trying to see how many.
No, that's fine. While Brian is researching that diligently, also just last Saturday, we found out who the Husker captains were going to be, and we'll, of course, touch on that as well as the handing out of the black shirts.
No one cares.
Well, it's possible that they do, but tell me about, do you think that did Bob Diaco get it right first time out as far as the timing of handing out the black shirts? He didn't do it four games in. He didn't do it at the beginning of fall camp. He did it the week of the first game. Was that the right time?
Yeah, because that's when Charlie McBride did it. He probably gave out too many, but...
He what? You know. What was it, 17?
16.
16.
That was 16. Close. Bo Pleady gave out 21 year. Carl Pleady gave out 21 year.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, you've got 11. Obviously, the 11 guys who would, you know, start. But it's not like, it, you know, football's not like it was 20 years ago because you're playing a lot more, I think, the matchups and things like that. So while you have the base guys, you might also, you know, have to throw in a nickelback or something like that.
So here's who they start. Ready?
I'm ready.
They're starting a fifth year. They're starting a transfer senior.
Okay.
A redshirt sophomore. A redshirt freshman at center. A true sophomore. And a redshirt junior.
That's a lot of, I don't want to say that's a lot of inexperience. It's just not.
A lot of youth.
Yeah. It's not the, you know, I wouldn't call it highly touted. I, you know, especially when you're talking about transfers, then night, you know, then you've got that whole chemistry issue to go about. And
I don't see nothing on starts, how many starts they had. So, it is what it is on that.
But anyway, I'm not sitting here dogging Arkansas State. Feel free if you want to, listeners or Brian. I don't see them winning. I sure as hell don't see them winning by two scores. That's as we look ahead, not past Arkansas State, but as we look at the season as a whole, which games jump out to you as the most problematic games on the Husker season, on the Husker schedule?
Well, Ohio State looks pretty tough. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, and having this,
I mean, it's really going to be a week to week thing with Nebraska because. It's going to be a health thing. I mean, we kind of learned that we should have learned our lesson last year and honestly the year before that, you know, it really depends on Nebraska's health because the game against Iowa last year looked like a win 3 weeks before and then Tommy pops a hamstring and everything goes straight to hell.
Sure.
So, you know, it really kind of co-depends on health. But I also think it co-depends on what it co-depends on how the offense evolves through the year, but I also think it really matters on how fast this defense gets good. I think this defense gets better as the year goes on.
Oh, I think so, absolutely, especially you know, with the new system, they're going to get more comfortable in that 3-4.
Yeah, but I also think that, you know, Bob Diaco once talked about a really fluid depth chart, okay? So it really kind of is going to co-depend on – you know, who stays at what position, how fast do people learn all this stuff. And you know, it's not cop-outs or anything like that, mind you. Just a realization of, hey, you know, remember last year this team was really good headed into Wisconsin. And then, you know, 2-3 the last five games, including losing your last two pretty embarrassingly. You know, and it, like I said, that was more health than anything. So, you do tend to give the benefit of the doubt on it. That being said, you know, Nebraska's deeper than one quarterback. They're deeper than one running back. They're not terribly deep at wide receiver.
It brings me to my next question, especially since you said, you know, being that injuries, you know, played such a factor in the end result last year. When we lost Tommy Armstrong, you know, we had to turn to Riker Fife, and no offense to Grand Island, but –
yeah, you know, Riker wasn't good enough.
And
Nebraska hasn't had, and I'll flat say this, Nebraska hasn't had this much talent at quarterback in about a decade.
Would it be when Joe Gans was the backup to Zach Taylor?
No, well, I guess you could argue that. I would say more along the lines of when Taylor was starting, you had Zach Lee, and then you had Cody Green. Zach and Cody were pretty good. They just happened to get put out on the island.
Sure.
When it came to Taylor, because it was Taylor Hill or high water. So.
And it, for lack of a better term, when you know, Bo rode that horse, you know, into the ground. There were times that, you know, looking back, and of course, hindsight being 2020, where Taylor should have sat You know, because he wasn't healthy, and that affected.
Yeah, well,
everything. But again, so as you mentioned,
if Taylor wasn't healthy, he, you know, there's also a way that, you know, if Taylor doesn't get hurt, Tommy doesn't get the experience he does.
Oh, sure.
So it's really kind of 6.5 dozen things. So,
but that was anyhow. Also later. Going back to my question, with this team being, you know, having the most talent or maybe the most depth, what positions can the Huskers just really not afford to lose a guy to injury?
I don't think they're going to lose one more corner, because I think, you know, losing Jones is fine, but if you lose like Lamar Jackson, it gets really dropped down. It really does. You can't really lose too many wide out.
Would you have to put Josh Kalu back at corner?
No. I think there's enough. There's kids there that can play, but you start going from like 4 stars and everything down to walk-ons. And I don't care how good you are, you're a walk-on, you know, for a reason. And that's no diss to anybody. There's no diss to the Nebraska, you know, tradition, everything like that. You know, when you have Lamar Jacksons, when you have the Tony Butlers, when you have the Eric Lees, you know, they're here because they're talented. They're here because they need to play. And the Boodles, you know, they've got to play. They got to, you know, they got to step up. You got to find out what you have in the cupboard.
Tweety just popped when you mentioned DiCaprio Boodles.
He does it all the time. Who cares?
Yeah, I'm sure he just wants other Husker podcasts to be sharing the love as well.
Yeah, he didn't.
So
he barely knows his name.
Yeah. So
call him Aloysius. He'd answer the same thing.
Arkansas State, the Wolves, the Crimson Wolves, I'm going to call them. I'm not going to call them red. That's too bad.
They're Red Wolves.
Fine, the Red Wolves, jeez. Anyway, they'll be at Memorial Stadium. What are you looking for specifically?
A win. A comfortable win.
Okay. I was talking more like, you know,
do you want to get into a fourth quarter fest with a Sun Belt team?
No, I don't. I want to win comfortably and go to bed happy, because that's a 7 o'clock kickoff, if I remember correctly.
You're old.
I am, but
I'll be up till 3 a.m. and back up at 7. So
I know. That being said, my new job has me usually getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So
you know what we call Greg now, folks.
Clint Eastwood, yep. From Gran Torino.
9.
Get off my lawn.
9.
Okay, what do we call Greg now, folks?
Wata boy.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, folks, in the time since we last recorded an
episode, soon he'll be a waterman.
I changed jobs. I used to sell cars. Now I deliver water.
Yeah, so. He went honest, folks. He went honest.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm no longer a crooked. Right. So anyway.
All right, let's wrap this up.
Aye, Captain. It's good to be back.
It is.
Hopefully our schedule allows, even if it's 20, 25 minutes, hopefully our schedule allows more conversations on a more regular basis, so we don't go 3 months without people hearing our glorious voices and opinions.
Some people appreciated that.
Yeah, but I think deep down they missed our intro song.
They didn't.
I know one person did on Twitter, because he still says it's a better intro than what the Big Red Copcast has. So.
Well, they changed theirs and theirs sucks. So
I know. They still said ours was better, because Brandon Rigoni, you know, talking about Hart.
We need a new one.
Dude, it took effort and time to put that together.
Yeah, well, they all do. Guess what?
What?
Ohio State scored again.
What's the score as we record at the moment?
A metric fucking ton to not. Let's just say the second half score is now going to be 36-7.
Delightful. And not in a good way for the Indiana faithful on hand tonight.
Basketball season soon.
Real quick, do we want to touch on the elephant in the room as far as college football this weekend?
What?
Alabama and Florida State?
No, who cares? Figure it out later.
That's the best response ever. I got to say this before we go. I listen to ESPN 101 in St. Louis. Or out of St. Louis, damn near every day in the truck that I'm driving. And They are really heavy, as you can imagine, being in Missouri. They're real heavy on the SEC talk. I would rather listen to them, you know, each guy go 3 hours bitching about the Cardinals pitching, both in the rotation and the back end, the bullpen, than hear them talk about the SEC. And there's been a lot to complain about as far as St. Louis Cardinals pitching this year. But anyway, that's my burden to bear. Brian, thank you, sir. Go back to watching Ohio State continue to crush Indiana.
You know what? Ohio State scored 49 points their last two games. 49 total. Yeah, because they scored 49 in this game, and how much did they score against Clemson?
That's right. Because I remember who made the comment about Urban Meyer and the Papa John's pizza that he was still thinking about after that game?
I don't know.
Was that in the Slack chat room? Anyway. All right, everybody. That does it. We're back. We'll be here for another football season and beyond. So keep on tuning in to the Five Heart podcast here on Coronation and the Jittery Monkey podcast network. Find it on iTunes, Stitcher, and Coronation.com and JitteryMonkey.com. For Brian Toll, I'm Greg Mahochko. Reminding you, once again, after 3 months off, Five Heart is all the heart you need. Go Big Red.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to JitteryMonkey.com.